When it comes to saving money, this is the most brilliant thing you can do.
Yes.
You're getting the same outcome just without a $30,000 bill.
Yes.
But people will judge folks that break tradition. And what's most interesting about this, some of the same people who argue this is the smartest thing you can do will also look at folks who did this as busted. Right, Tommy?
Well, you know, I've done three different styles of this.
You're hanging out in the break room. Brunch, just classic rock, 96.5 WCMF. We got a story on Friday that we see every single year.
Yeah, what's that?
Folks headed down on Valentine's Day to City Hall to get married.
Mm-hmm. Get hitched.
And if you've never seen this before, it's very simple. You show up with your partner, a couple of witnesses, the judge marries you, you pay for your marriage license, and voila!
You're done.
You're married.
Yeah.
Right? No ridiculously expensive wedding, no fights over whether or not to invite your racist Aunt Ruth.
No stress.
Two people in love, committing to each other in front of someone in a robe for the rest of their life.
Mm.
Now, Tommy, with all the talk we've had about weddings and how expensive they've gotten, right, and what you're paying for and how it's not worth it to you, this is the smart move.
It is. It just eliminates all the BS that goes on in a wedding.
So, just financially, right now, the average American wedding costs around $30,000.
Yep.
That's a new car. That's a down payment on a home. That's about one half the average American's annual salary for one night, one party. So doing this from a financial standpoint is the smartest thing you can do, but it goes further than that.
What do you mean?
You don't have to worry about guests, what people want, dresses.
Nobody's pissed off. You're
false.
Not. Yeah, the expectations.
He was not listening. Yeah, right.
I think you are underestimating, because I know people that this happened to.
Well, you had a big wedding.
Yes, I did. But I do know people that, especially like during
he's
after
like a 12-year-old. That's a black dog.
No, she did. I always said.
It's a fire truck.
Listen, man, I'm 66 almost. That was the best wedding I've ever been
to. I know you always say that, but what the point she's getting at is.
Something else. What? I was saying, especially.
You got a great sweatshirt.
Especially during the pandemic and a little bit after. I knew people that did this, and it caused more drama than they thought it would, only because if they invited anybody to come with them, even if it was like a single family member to come because they wanted to witness it, their whole families were offended that they weren't included or that they didn't have a big party with everybody because they want to celebrate too.
Okay.
Or like they feel left out because you invited that person to come with you, but not this person.
Well, you can always have that after a reception.
Okay.
If you want to do that,
sure.
Which I don't get because that's where the money is.
Exactly. So, but I mean, look, you're right, Kimmy. You are running a risk in doing this of offending
I'm just
some
saying,
people.
Like, it's not completely free of drama.
But, but that takes it way down.
Sure, I agree
compared
with you.
Compared to, every wedding, there's going to be pissed off people. They don't like this, they don't like that, and you can't stop that.
All right, great. So all three of us in this room are in agreement that the smarter thing to do is just to go down to the courthouse, get hitched, right, take care of it that way, and in no way are the people who go down and get married at the courthouse with no party afterwards busted. Right, Tommy?
Absolutely, Patrick. Well, I mean, you know.
What?
It depends.
It depends on what?
I mean, if you're, my first marriage, I eloped. We went down to the courthouse, and we didn't even use a witness? They give you one.
Really?
Yeah, they say.
Free witness. And car wash.
Yes. No, two car washes. So in Florida, there was like no fault, who cares, do what you want. And yeah, we didn't bring family. And then we literally got in the car and went to the Keys for a long weekend.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
It was the only high point of that entire marriage, man.
So then why, and I know you, why? And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Courthouse wedding, brilliant or busted? Why? Do you argue that you shouldn't spend the money? Do you argue that it's the easiest way to do? You love this idea. Why then do you think, at the same time, people who do this are busted?
I will say, we were broke kids.
Uh-huh.
And you know, young and dumb. I will say.
Listen to this idiot!
He's fighting himself.
Listen to
him! Depending on the person, I know why you're doing it.
What do you mean by that?
Like, we know people that would do it because they don't want to deal with the drama.
Uh-huh.
I get that. But there's also people that are just chintz. There's two different motivations there.
What's wrong with being chintz?
Oh, you can be chintz.
No, but you're judging that
chintz. Just admit it. You're chintz and you're not doing it because you don't want to deal with things. You're just cheap.
So is chintz and busted two separate things?
Oh, absolutely.
According to you?
Okay. No, not according to
you. I'm wondering busted, like, what category that falls in.
If you're busted, you're forced to chintz.
All right, let me put it
but
this.
But if you've got money forced and you chintz. Cheap, see, if you got money and yeah. you cheap, you chintz.
Born to bust, okay. forced to chintz.
Yes.
No, bro.
No. Some people, like, we know guys, they're just chintz because they ain't got it.
Sure, yeah.
But we know guys that choose chintz and got it.
What's wrong with choosing chintz?
Because you chintz.
So what? Who cares?
And you try to act like you're not.
Bro, so I watched a story on Friday, and they're running through a bunch of people that mm-hmm. were down there, and these couples ran the gamut from kids in their early 20s to people yeah. in their 30s to folks all the way up into their 50s. So all of those three, 20-something-year-olds, 30-something-year-olds, 50-something-year-olds, which ones are you judging the hardest for getting married at the courthouse?
Well, if you're 50, this has been, you've had a few, this probably ain't your first rodeo.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And you may be busted
okay.
at that point. Like, the most busted may be the 50-year-old at the courthouse because you're both.
But you just said that's a smart way to do it.
It is. It is.
He doesn't even know what he thinks right now.
But you're probably a couple of losers.
What is that?
No, I don't mean that in a mean way.
How can that be not mean? You're probably a couple of losers. With all due respect.
He's putting his hands up like, whoa, everybody back off.
No, I just, you're a couple of sad sacks.
Oh, I would just think like you don't want to do this.
He's got a neck tattoo. She's
anymore.
Missing a tooth. I get it. You know what I think of? I think of my sister. Because my sister was married 5 times, man.
Well, but only to 4 different people.
Yes. It's the saddest South Florida epic failure of a human being.
No.
But, I mean, like, she found these loser guys because she was also...
Okay, but here's the thing.
She was driving the L train.
All right. You...
into Chinstown.
Driving the L train to Chinstown.
Living in Trashicola, Florida.
252 WCMF. Again, as they do every year, there's a bunch of news stories on about couples who went down to the courthouse on Friday for Valentine's Day to get married by a judge.
Yeah,
and it's the smartest thing you can do.
You're
saving tens of thousands
Bro,
of dollars.
It's smart money.
And then it's smart money. And you sit here and you call them losers. You call them losers. Like,
depending on your age.
Shut up. You got married by the Justice of the Peace of the first one, mm-hmm. right? Then you have the big old Italian blowout wedding for your second marriage.
28 people in the wedding party.
Okay, it's ridiculous. Half of which you don't talk to anymore.
Well, some died and some tried to sue me.
But I guess what I'm getting at is now what you and your wife did in her backyard was beautiful. Very nice.
And it was
fitting.
Easy.
Yes.
It was fun.
But if you came, if you said we're going down to the courthouse to do it, I would totally understand that. Why, if you had already paid for a wedding, would you want to pay for another
and
wedding?
And drag your family back
and
have them give you a check again
but
for the third time.
But you call those people losers. And here's the thing, man. If I didn't know you and I found out, I got my buddies getting married for the third time in his backyard, that guy sounds like a loser.
Yeah, I could see it, without anything in front of you, it could look bad.
But when it's you, totally different. Very classy.
One of the good ones.
Wow, we got Wegman sushi tray. We're class over here.
By the way, that stuff's expensive, bro. But they do deliver.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
When it comes to the courthouse wedding, as Tommy tries to figure out what he feels.
I think I explained it.
How do women feel about the courthouse wedding? Because Tommy has had this idea that women grow up imagining like their dream wedding. This is not the dream wedding.
And
that
it's
you
your
imagine.
Day.
Yeah. But I think that, especially if you've been to a bunch of weddings or been a part of a bunch of weddings, you see the behind the scenes, you see the drama, you see all the things that go into it. And I could understand why somebody would want to avoid all that.
All right, let me ask you a question to both of you, because you've both now been married for a while, right? And let's say, God forbid, for whatever reason, you end up single again.
All right, magic single,
and you meet somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that wedding playing out in your head?
Courthouse.
Yeah, it would just.
You want
be
to think about it for a half second?
I'm going to the courthouse, bro.
What if you meet the love of your life?
And they want to have a big wedding,
and it's like, let's say it's her first wedding. Or she didn't get the big wedding in the first one, right? And now she's got more money and time to think about it. She wants the bigger wedding. Do you push for the courthouse? Because it's her day.
It's tough.
So I went to a wedding where it was her first, his second, and none of his family or friends showed up.
Oh,
that's loser town,
bro. And honestly, I don't know.
Let me down.
I want to get a pass because I don't know if he invited all of it. They were from out of town. I don't know if he invited them all right. because he didn't want them to feel obligated to come to his second wedding.
Gotcha,
so he only had like a few local people, and then the rest of the wedding, I mean, it's still a pretty big wedding. The rest of the wedding was all her.
Because I'm thinking like if you, because I said this and I meant that you had a phenomenal wedding. If you ever had to get married again, let's say for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That wedding would be hard to match.
Husband, too.
Well.
Oh, don't even start with that.
Yeah,
bro.
I don't. I
see a missing tooth in her future. No, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't do a whole second wedding. Like, you'll never match ceremony and banquet and all that.
But that's what sucks is she gets to dictate that, right?
Yeah, like it's her call.
It's not mine.
No, it's not.
And you're right.
And you can push a little bit.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, if it's, you know, magically single, whatever, right? Like, if it's what she wants,
no,
I would
tragically,
be...
if you're not magically single.
Well, no, I'm saying in this... Yeah, I don't know.
Tragically.
I was trying to avoid
well,
the
that came
tragically
weird.
Part.
Magically, I'm single.
I'm saying in a fantasy world where nothing bad happens, you idiot.
Because you had... You had a very inexpensive wedding.
The first one.
Right. Right. So I'm saying, you know, so.
Yeah. In fact, it was so inexpensive. I had this weird 5-foot creep standing in the bushes videotaping me and my pregnant wife while we said I do.
Hey, I didn't charge you. It was in a flip cam. God rest that soul. I don't even know where that thing is.
Yeah. I don't want to know what else was on that film.
A couple of weird trips I took to foreign nations.
Okay.
I don't think that came out the way you thought it did.
Magically.
So, you know, the other funny thing about this argument is we talk about getting married at the courthouse, you know, the stories on Valentine's Day, people just going down. The folks who are going to judge people getting married at City Hall, which you are doing, also don't want to have to go to their wedding in the first place.
Yes.
Because, Tommy, you sit here and you judge someone for getting married by a justice of the peace.
Yeah.
Yet, if that same person decided we're going to have a wedding and they sent you an invitation, you'd be out of your mind. What is wrong with you?
Especially because we've all been to busted ass sad weddings, right?
Oh, have you?
Not yours. Oh, yours was magical.
Tragical.
No, but I've been to a few.
Okay, what's sad? Well, you explain your sisters.
My sisters I've already told you about. I also went to a couple of the ones that were just like, it was just rough, man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Rough people, rough food, rough booze.
You're such a bitch. You are such a bitch.
You know, and like, the chick had on not a wedding dress, but like close enough.
That's what my wife wore to our first wedding.
No, she had a wedding
dress. No, she got it at New York and Company for $100.
No, but it was a wedding dress. I've seen
it. It was not a wedding dress. It was not a wedding dress.
It looked like one.
It was a
she looked magic.
You know how hard it is to find a maternity wedding dress?
Well, then you had a unique situation.
8 months in. Not for Catholics, it's not. It was a very common situation. We got it in under the gun so I can get into heaven. What I'm telling you is stop talking because you're describing my wedding and my wife was, I'm sure, listening.
Her wedding was one of the good ones.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were saying, go on. Keep going.
No, but I went to a couple of weddings where it was like, you know, it was just sad.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the money. And it was just like, they were just trying to make do. And
yeah!
It was just...
Sometimes you don't have a choice, man! Sometimes you got a baby coming in 3 weeks.
Yeah, no. But...
And I would think, like, as long as everybody there is having a good time, it's not sad, no matter what the budget is. Like, I think...
You are right about that.
Because, like, I've been to some really expensive weddings where... crap hit the fan, and nobody was having a good time after that, and I would call that wedding a sad wedding.
I will say that the reception at the sad wedding was a party. It was a big, fun, ugly party. Does that make sense? It was ugly people having a good time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was like Fugly Town.
Now you're just taking shots to be mean.
No, I'm
not. Nothing
being
to do
honest.
With the wedding.
No, he's just being, I'm being honest about a wedding that I won't
like
describe.
If you go to a wedding and even the pastor is not wearing dress shoes, you had a busted wedding, man.
You were at the ugly wedding. You contributed.
No, big old bucket ugly carried it with him. All right, let's take a break. Did you drooling?
No. Okay. Maybe.
Even if you love your job, there are some places you could work that would seem like a fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
A fun place that has something you love inside. And no matter what kind of job they'd give you, you'd jump at the chance just to be a part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
This could be one of those places.
Yeah.
They're a big part of Rochester's history. They make something that everyone loves, and They're hiring.
Damn.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. How would you like to work at the Genesee Brewery?
Oh.
Over the weekend, the brewery held a job fair. They're expanding, so they need to hire more folks. Yeah. And here's the thing. If you miss the job fair, no need to worry. They are still taking applications. And you can go to their website to apply.
Okay.
And there are a lot of good reasons to go work for Jenny. Folks who work there say their benefits are great. It's a union shop.
Yeah.
And you get to work for the Genesee Brewery.
Yes.
Now, I heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true, 252-WCMF, that if you work for Jenny, you get an allotted free amount of beer a month.
Oh.
Have you heard that before?
I thought the only I had never heard that until the last time we talked about Jenny in some way, and somebody called and said, yeah, I used to get a case of beer a month.
Was it a case of beer per month? Oh, man.
Nice.
Free beer. Nice. Free beer at your job?
Yeah.
Just leave?
Yeah.
Walk out with it? It's not your boss buying you a beer one time? You get a case of beer? Okay. Working at Jenny would be a fantasy for some people. And here's what I'm wondering. Mm. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is there a place you would be so excited to go and work, no matter what job they offered you, you'd take it?
Yeah, like a no matter what.
Yes.
Lowest end job.
You got it. Ultimate fantasy workplace, but there are no conditions. Whatever they offer, you are happy.
That's your job.
Yeah, to just be a part of the team. I don't care what I'm doing. I just want to be a part of the team. Do you have a place in your head you would take that gig?
I guess it would have to be, I enjoy my alcohol.
Okay.
So it would have to be alcohol related to that extent.
Okay. So like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like, let's say they said, you know, we're going to fly you. I like Jameson whiskey.
Sure.
It's a great Irish whiskey.
Yep.
You can go work at the main plant in Ireland.
All right. So you're going to work
for a year.
All right. You're going to work as a, because it's got to be something you can actually do.
It's a good, like a low level job.
All right. So they're going to have you being the guy that puts the stickers on the bottles.
I get to be sticker guy?
You get to be sticker guy.
I was going way lower.
What were you thinking?
Like, pick the, clean that up.
Okay. Oh, janitor. You would work for a year as the janitor at the Jameson Brewery.
I hear you get a case of liquor every month.
Well, yeah, I think that's just Ireland, period. The government gives you a case.
But it'd be like a foreign country that looks like it's fun.
Okay.
It looks like it's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's like to go live in Ireland, work at a whiskey plant for a year.
Okay.
That I would take that job.
All right, so no questions asked, whatever. We have a job for you, whatever it is.
You said, I could put the label on it.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Label guy's pretty good.
Is that a skilled job, being label guy?
No, man, it's got to be tight.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't do that.
Yes, I could.
No, you don't have the dexterity in your fingers to pull that off.
Oh, I got dexterity in them fingers, son. I was labeling up last night.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Where's that?
Oh, your mama. Jameson it up good.
Kimmy, 252-WCMF. Do you have a place of business that no matter the job they offered you, lowest level, whatever it could be, you would immediately take the job just to be a part of that team?
I got to think about it, but for whatever reason, the first thing that came to my mind that I know it is for a lot of people, or at least was Disney World.
Really?
Yes. Like, I knew people that, like, wanted so badly to be a part of Disney World and Disney that I don't think it would have mattered what job they had initially. They would have gone down there to do it.
There are a lot of crappy jobs you could have.
Like almost all of them.
Yes.
Like the fun is on the other side.
Well, I think
everybody
thinks eventually they'll be the job that they want.
Okay.
All right.
Just to get their foot in the door.
I mean, it wasn't all that long ago.
I don't know if it's still that way, but I do remember a lot of people like just dying to work at Disney World.
It was only recently, and I'm not making this up, that if you worked at Disney World, you had to share underwear. There was community underwear that you had to put on when you went. Google it if
Why?
You don't believe me. Because it was part of the costumes that everyone had to wear.
Oh, oh.
And I don't think it was just like costume characters.
Man, in the South?
No way.
Nice. You can Google it if you want.
Man, those are some swamp britches.
So can I tell you a quick side story before we get back to this? Because I see you guys on hold. I want to get to you. Speaking of working for Disney, she's not wrong. So I have an aunt.
Oh, yeah, you said. Like, she, like, gave up everything for it.
Obsessed with Disney. She had a great job at Kodak. She owned her own house here, very successful. In the early 90s, she went to a psychic, and the psychic told her she saw her in puffy white sleeves.
Okay, that should have worked.
So she thought she was going to go be Snow White at Disney.
Right.
The problem was, she's a larger gale. Larger gap.
And that's in your family.
Shut up. She quit her job at Kodak, sold her house, and moved to Florida to pursue her Disney dream.
This is stuff you watch on Netflix.
And she's been bouncing around for 30 years. Like, she's been, like, she was at Disney for a little while. She worked at the Rainforest Cafe, but they were all like low-level jobs. She gave up everything.
For the pursuit of this dream of being Snow White.
Yes, and I don't think she ever got to be Snow White.
Damn.
252 WCMF. So we had asked about the free Jenny policy if you work for the brewery. Neil's on CMF. Hey, Neil, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Ryan, doing well, thanks. How are you guys today?
Good, good, good.
So my uncles and my father's the youngest of four. All four of them worked at Genesee Brewery in the late 60s, early 70s. And it's a funny story. My father tells it the best. But when he found out, you know, they were negotiating for their salary, and they offered him like $310 a week plus a Jenny 30 rack of Jenny a week. And when he found out that his older brothers, all three of them, were at like $420 a week and three cases of Jenny, he went back and negotiated. And all they did was toss him more free beer.
I mean, there's worse things in the world to get out of a negotiation deal.
When you said.
And the biggest perk they used to say was that everyone got to drink on the job. Now, don't quote me on that because this is late 60s, early 70s, but you'd be there in the bottling center or in the operations center, and everyone would just have a pint near them nearby.
I'm going to guess in today's environment with OSHA, you're not allowed to drink while working on factory equipment, but that's just a guess.
As far as it goes, where I would work, if you could get me on the sidelines to any and every Bills game, whether home or away or both, I'm there.
So you would imagine you'd be like the scout runner, because like we have a little experience, like talking to some of these people that do it. Some of those jobs are thankless. You get screamed at by folks that make 10 times, 20, 30 times your salary. You're standing out in the cold and the rain. You wouldn't have any problem with that, Neil.
No, and I wouldn't have to pay the PSL that they're asking for. You know all about that.
Good point. Good point, Neil. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Yeah, I would think sports would be a big one.
I mean, that's for me. My dream job would be...
Sideline.
Well, no. I don't even want that. I want to be equipment guy.
Yeah. Why do you want to stank-ass equipment?
Well, no. I'm a Jersey nerd. Like, you get to be part of the process.
Oh, I thought you were in it for the smell. Why would you want to touch everybody's nastiest stuff?
You're the guy with the jerseys and all the equipment. Like, if I could be an equipment guy for a hockey team, like any, and it's
God, the worst smell of smells.
Hey, man, I'm used to it, man.
But you don't even get to enjoy the game.
Sure, you do. You're on the bench for that stuff.
Oh, you are?
The equipment guy's on the bench. If I could be an
equipment. I always thought you were like in the back doing stuff.
No, equipment guy for any pro hockey team.
Yeah, that has to be a big one, and working for a pro team, your favorite pro
team. It sounds rank.
Bro, kid I grew up with around the corner from me, he's one of the equipment guys now for the Sabres, and he's on every broadcast standing on the bench, and I'm so jealous, because I'm,
their hand sticks out.
Yeah, I'm as good as you are. Why'd you get that job? It sucks. You were going to say, Kimmy, I'm sorry.
My fear, though, would be, no matter whatever it is I loved, like, I would ruin it working there.
Of course.
Okay,
because it would actually suck.
I never want to be too close to something that I really enjoy, because eventually it is going to suck. Because it's a job, right? Like, eventually you're going to find something that you don't like about
it. You're right, but there are some things that are just so amazing to be a part of that even, like, the bad days, you get to stand there and be like, well, I am inside the castle that I've always wanted to be in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
252 WCMF, we're talking about how the Genesee Brewery, they are hiring, they are expanding, and they're looking for folks. Union shop, great benefits, rumors that you get free beer every month. And we're talking about the place you just want to be a part of the team. I don't care what I am doing. I just want to work here. Bob writes, I've always wanted to be a bartender at a dive bar. I know it's really hard work.
For the fights?
I'm too old to have the experience now, but I think I'd be good at it. I work hard, and I'm good at talking to people.
It is funny how dive bars are always thought of as this romantic place. And you and I have been to dive bars and had to work dive bars. They are by far the most depressing places to actually work. There's a reason why they're dive bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I it must be because of TV.
It's Cheers.
Cheers, yeah. Which wasn't a dive bar,
no,
really. It was a pretty nice bar in downtown Boston.
Well, yeah, they had all
those. You probably paid $30 to park there.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
To your point, Bob's fantasy is the whole reason why a bunch of buddies go in and buy bars they shouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank God for the rise of the home bar where you could just pretend.
You have a dive bar in your basement.
Exactly. Like, now I can pour your beer for my buddy. Check me out. Here you go.
You made me think of when the PGA came here, And everybody signed up to volunteer, and I had to pay to volunteer.
Yeah, $250
just to be near the PGA.
I mean, but that's a great example of it, right? You do feel like you're living a lifelong dream. Yeah. And by the way, there were folks that paid $250 that didn't get to see anyone swing a club all weekend. You would have to have a ton of balls to make that change, thinking it would make you happy.
Oh, yeah.
To Kimmy's point, but here's the thing. The tough part about these fantasy jobs, whether it's something like you going and being the janitor at the Jameson factory or me being, the fourth equipment guy for the Buffalo Sabres or the Amherst or whatever, it's not going to be close most of the time to any of the money you're making now.
No.
Right? Like, if you want to be an usher for the Red Wings, that ain't paying your mortgage.
You're going to pay to do that job.
Exactly.
It's going to cost you.
You want to be a golf ranger. You're not putting your kids through college. Mm-hmm. Like, these fantasy jobs are more retirement jobs, right?
That's why you see old farts like me doing them.
Exactly. But that's what makes the Jenny openings great, is like, this could actually pay all of your bills.
Yeah.
And you might get free beer at the end.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Craig, 252-WCMF. Hey, Craig, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How you doing, bud?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, yeah, I worked at a Genesee brewery, okay, and they suck.
So things didn't go well for you, Craig.
Okay.
So I also worked as an equipment manager. I was at Lockburn Sports for years.
Okay.
And, you don't want to do that job.
So you don't do any job.
Everything sucks, Craig.
You don't want it. That's a nasty, nasty job.
I understand.
Bro.
I have a lot of friends who do it. I get that there is a negative side to it, but I do have a passion for sports equipment. What can I say?
I understand that. So do I. I also do. But, sharpening skates and people bringing their nasty, sweaty, and the guys that don't wear socks. So, we had a girl on Team USA. Well, I was at Locker Room Sports, and she would come in, get her skate sharpened. And my buddy, I'm just going to say S.
I don't want to know.
This is going Tommy's way.
Nope.
Don't drag me into this.
Craig, I'm hanging up the phone now. Bye, Craig. I don't want to know. Bye, Craig.
I was going to ask what he does now, but I don't think I want to know the answer to that either.
Whatever it is, it sucks, I'm sure.
He's probably a mayor of a small town. Or a judge.
Okay, quick sidebar. While we're here talking about, he mentions he worked at Locker Room Sports on Ridge Road in Greece. If you play hockey.
Very popular spot growing up.
So they outfitted my old man. Yeah. They outfitted me. Mm-hmm. They outfit my daughter now. Like, they've been around forever. One of the best places you can go to buy your hockey equipment. They're so good, in fact, that they have put, and I'm not exaggerating, like 15 to 20 people in legitimate pro sports equipment jobs.
They started out there.
Yeah, started at Locker Room Sports. Like the guy I talked to, Benny, he works for the Sabres.
Yeah.
Started at Locker Room Sports. I got three buddies that work on like the West Coast for professional hockey teams, some in the NHL.
Yeah.
Started at Locker Room Sports. There's a bunch of guys that work as college equipment managers, have been doing it for decades, work at Locker Room Sports. It's the weirdest thing. Like, they should do a documentary about this, how all
Leave
of...
Craig out of it, though.
Yeah, Craig does, yeah. Craig's
no,
out.
That's the one guy... I want to finish this story without me being dragged into it.
No, but, like, Graham, the guy who owns Locker Room Sports, like, I don't know what touch this guy has, but everyone that walks through that
got
program...
Got a system.
But they get a career out of it. It was, like, it's like insane. I should have... Why I didn't go work there as a kid? I would be hanging out with you losers. I'd be in the NHL right now.
Look at that, smelling jocks.
Three shirts. Danny writes us, we were talking about the I just want to be a part of it job.
Yeah.
Danny writes, I've always wanted to be a police officer, but in like a small town. I want to be the friendly police officer who gets to wear the uniform but doesn't have to be aggressive. Okay.
So he wants to be Mayberry.
Yes, that's exactly.
Eating donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small town cop. That's called just being a guy.
Yeah, and small towns ain't what they used to be.
Oh, don't be that guy, you old man bitch.
Well, I know. I think he's thinking like Andy Griffith. We got a problem down at the fishing hole. Two fellas are fighting over the same bass.
Small towns were never like that.
No, but that's what he thinks
a
small
town. It's one thing to say that's not what a small town is. It's another thing. You know, not my America. When I was a kid, when small towns were actually small towns.
No, listen, small towns got a lot more going on now. You know, they got sushi bars and meth.
Is that what I'm saying? Don't get those two mixed up, by the way. Eating sushi for 9 hours wide awake. Can we stop? Can we stop with this?
Where are we stopping?
Look, I get that we're all on our phones too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that you can even make the argument you are addicted, right? Like, I mean, it happens.
Yeah,
fine. But the headline of this article is absolutely ridiculous. And if you believe this, you might be dumb.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. I'm going to read you the headline of an article this week. You ready?
What'd they write?
Technology addicts suffer the same withdrawal symptoms as heroin addicts, a therapist finds.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Shaking on the ground, no money, you know, sitting in your urine-soaked jeans for a month.
Okay, so they argue that technology addiction is legitimate because of the dopamine hit you get from going through all that stuff. And look, that's a valid thing. So there is some kind of physical reaction to what we're getting from our phones.
Yeah, we've seen people have a hard time giving it up.
And it's also obvious, Kimmy, if you walk around seeing people buried in their phones all the time, that folks, if they aren't forced to, won't give it up. Mm. Okay. This therapist talks about folks that she's treated for addiction.
Yes.
When it comes to technology. Quote, it starts to affect your life. You're late to an appointment because you were lost scrolling. You're not connecting with your partner because someone's on their phone too much. It starts to take over. One young man I worked with used to enjoy YouTube. By the time he came to me, he was there 15 to 17 hours a day. You see it when people have their phones taken. They become irritable and angry. Their moods are generally low.
Mm.
Remember your buddy that was on heroin and they took heroin away and he got moody and angry with a
little he got a little snappy.
I've never heard of anyone nobbing someone for a baggie of Instagram. What are we doing?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
Because I can't imagine. I guess, like, let's say if your phone, if there was a 50% chance that every time you use your phone, you could die.
Great point.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, every you could OD on your phone.
Yep.
Like, you just dropped dead. Then you'd have an argument.
Sure. Sure.
And phone's a bad habit.
Yeah.
Heroin is an addiction. There's a big difference.
And it's arguably, and I know there are other drugs that are less popular. Look, when it comes to stuff you can get outside of meth, I mean, it's the most addictive substance you can find. Yes. You hear these stories of people using it once and being hooked for life.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess could you, maybe not so much the health aspect of it, but could you make the argument that people who are addicted to it could put themselves into potential debt? Being addicted to, like, technology in their phones?
You mean, like, heroin? I mean, there are people
or a
that,
girlfriend?
Right, well, no, I mean, I'm saying, like...
Like, I mean, there's a lot of things that could put you into debt and things like that.
All right, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
Kimmy, if... I mean, you like using social media, right? If you could only use social media by stealing your mother's toaster and selling it to somebody, would you do it?
No, I know. I understand it's not as serious as heroin. I guess my point is I could see how you could argue that somebody who's addicted, it would affect their life in some way. I don't know because I'm not that addicted to it. But there may be people out there who legitimately are.
Okay. No, fair enough.
And it's ruined their family life and, you know what I mean? Like, put them in not a desirable spot.
But Springsteen never wrote a song about the phone.
Again, not comparing it to those other things. But maybe it is a problem for certain people.
But I mean, we're talking levels here, right? Yeah. To write a headline from a therapist who says that folks who are withdrawing from phone or folks who are getting rid of their phones technology, they're showing the same withdrawal symptoms as heroin addicts is simply not true. And here's the thing. It kind of feels like we all either A, need an excuse to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you don't want to give up the
phone.
Yeah, so you see the story and go, oh, I don't want to feel like what it goes through to withdraw from heroin, so I'm not going to do it. Or B, even bigger, a big congratulations for accomplishing something. And don't get me wrong. It's not like getting off your phone would be an easy thing to do. Right? But to compare it to one of the most addictive substances on planet Earth, what, the Verizon cartel? I mean, come on!
Well, you got towers watching all over.
Come on! What are we doing? Come on, people! Guys!
But everybody wants to make their journey seem so much harder than it is.
That's what it is. You nailed it.
Yeah, I went through it, man.
If somebody came to me, Kimmy.
I did the walk.
And they said, you know what? I got rid of my phone. I don't even look at it anymore. I just got a flip phone. It was as hard as getting off of heroin. You would laugh in that man's face.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, the fact that...
I mean, but it's ruined relationships for people. I mean, I know people that have... It could cause a divorce if you are more on that phone than you are paying attention to your kids and wife and or husband, whoever.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But
I mean, you wouldn't call that an addiction?
Okay, I'm not saying it's not an addiction.
Okay.
What I am saying is it is ridiculous and stupid.
Yes. I see what you're saying, to compare
exactly.
it to those other
things. Kimmy, anything in your life, if you have an addictive personality, can do exactly what you're describing.
No,
you know?
You're right.
It can take away from your family life and your kids, and it can
but
cause
But you're not
divorce.
A junkie. You're just not a junkie, man. I mean, it's just a whole different life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, how different would the Velvet Underground be if Lou Reed was addicted to his phone and not heroin?
It's so funny. All I could think of the whole time was Lou Reed. Like, I kept thinking, Lou Reed has never written a song about the cell phone.
And all the people go, scroll.
He's still alive, right?
No, he's dead.
Did he really die?
You're thinking of Iggy Pop, who also...
Yeah.
He did his whole heroin phone thing for a while.
Yeah.
All right. So let's be cool and stop saying that it's harder than quitting heroin to get rid of your cell phone.
All right.
Because it's not. Thank you very much.